Tonight, we're going to be looking at some passages from the book of Numbers. And I'll give you just a minute to get to Numbers chapter 11. And while you're finding that, I'll give you a little peek. Last night, there was a couple of ladies come into church, to the food bank, and Brother Huda wasn't there, so there's two Hispanic ladies come in. One couldn't really speak. She said she couldn't understand English, but she sure understood a whole lot more than what she said. And then there was another young lady that was going to translate for her. And, you know, I told them that, you know, it's once appointed unto men to die, and after this to judgment. And I explained to her that in the courts of law in the United States of America, if you go before the judge and you have a lawyer defending you, that lawyer does his research. He wants to find out about that judge, how that judge rules in certain cases, and learn the more that he knows about that judge, the better he can defend you. And I said, in that judgment one day, the more you know about the judge, and that day, the better off you're going to be. And so I took them to the book of Revelation and was able to show them that, you know, according to their belief, the Catholicism belief, that they are going to be judged according to their works. And they were all okay with that. We're going to be judged according to our works. But as soon as she read that last verse, I had her read it, she stopped. And she was dumbfounded. Because whosoever name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Right? Yeah, you're going to be judged according to your works, but if your name's not in that book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so, I was able to lead her to Christ. And, when she left, after she prayed, she stood up and she says, you know, I feel it. You know, she felt it. She knew something was different. And so, well, I only tell you that not to gloat, but to give you my mindset, there's a judgment coming. And the more that we as believers understand who God is and what pleases Him and what does not please Him, the more, the better off we're going to be in this life. Number one, right? I mean, if I said, how many of us want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful, I think every one of us in this room would raise our hands. Amen? But yet, we sometimes don't get it. So, in the book of Numbers, and I'm not going to get this finished tonight, I'm tell you that right now, I'm not going to lie to you, there's so much in this passage for us to look at. But I'm going to do my best to try to get the gist of it to you tonight. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. You see, there is a difference between bringing your concerns or needs before the Lord in prayer and outright complaining. Right? There's a difference. There's a point where, you know, we go to the Lord in prayer and we're telling Him all the things He already knows, right? But so we want to examine this. You know, what displeased God about their complaining? What brought it from one to the other? Matthew Henry said, there is a place where you cross the line from asking God and complaining. There is that point. And I like to think that God did not tell us in this passage what they were complaining about, because He wants us to understand that the act of complaining is a sin. In this particular passage, He just said they were complaining. And we get the indication from the next verse that Moses did not know that they were complaining. And there's some other passages that we may or may not cover tonight that brings out the fact that Moses did not know that they were complaining. And so let us ask the question, what were they complaining about? What were they complaining about? Well, we go to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. I'll give you a second to get there. But the psalmist, David, gives us a lot of insight on this passage. I think three or four different chapters he brings, maybe more than that, but just in my studies, I was looking at certain verses, and three or four chapters he brings out this instance. It says in Psalm 78, verse 16, he brought streams also. And this is David telling all that God had done for the children of Israel. And I just take and plucking this out of the chapter. He brought the streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Remember when they were thirsty and God brought water from the rock, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking for meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give us bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and the anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in the God and trusted not in his salvation. So we find out from the psalmist that this fire came and consumed Israel in this verse because they did not believe in God's salvation, and they did not trust in his provision. They were not asking God for a need. They tempted God by asking for something that they lusted after. Very easy for us to do, isn't it? Oh, God, I really like to have that car Jeremiah's driving around. You know, it's real easy for us to see somebody driving around in, you know, a nice pickup truck like Pastor Crabtree and become discontent. I'm getting ahead of myself, but become discontent with what he has given us. All right? But we find out from this passage that they were in their hearts lusting after meat. Okay. See, they lusted in their hearts. This was a heart condition. It's a heart condition. They acknowledged the previous provisions of God, but doubted that he could continue to sustain them for a long period of time. Because they did not trust in his salvation, he sent a fire to consume them. I want you to notice this. People today are doomed for an eternal hell because they trust not in the salvation of the Lord. He sent a consuming fire amongst the children of Israel, but there is an eternal fire that those that do not trust in the Lord's salvation is headed for. And we as Christians have to do our job to try to persuade them the best that we can. We're not selling Jesus. I'll tell you that now. When we're witnessing, we're not selling anything. We're presenting the gospel. It is God's job to draw them nigh. But it's our job to present that gospel. John is there tonight, and I bet you he presents the gospel some way, somehow to that group of people. Right? I believe within my heart. Jonel's going to be presenting the gospel. And they're going to, a majority of them are going to reject it, right? But they're doomed for an eternal hell because they do not trust in the provision of salvation that God has provided for them. Back to Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 2. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. You know, I find it funny, and I don't mean a laughing funny, how people's attitudes seem to change about God's man when they're being chastised. Or, you know, God brings a judgment upon somebody. And I'll tell you what, chastisement's a form of judgment. You know, it's not the outright judgments, but it's a form of judgment. He, just like our children, we whip them because they've done wrong, right? We chastise them, but we judge the matter before we chastise them, right? And so, people, when they get into that situation, Pastor Scott could tell you story after story after story how somebody's come to him and said, "Oh, Pastor, my son or my daughter's done this, and my son or daughter's doing that, or my wife is doing this, and my wife's doing that." And you know, they want a 5-minute fix for a 20 or 30 year old problem. And there is no 5-minute fix for a 30 year old problem. Right? You should have thought about that 30 years ago. And people seem to always want God's man to get God's mercy when God begins to chastise them or trials come along. In Numbers 11, verse number 3, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" Now they just went through a consuming fire for lusting in their heart, right? But now it's being verbalized, right? Now they're beginning to speak what was in their heart. The mixed multitude here is not the same as Nehemiah 13:3, just so you know. This passage is talking about a collection of different people or non-Jewish people. When Nehemiah is talking about his interracial, Nehemiah 13:3, I think, you know, Nehemiah is talking about interracial, you know, mixed multitude there. But here he's talking about a different conglomeration. Today we have a mixed multitude, right? We have Jeremiah. If he looks, he's not white. My wife's not white, right? And Pastor Scott's white. We got some other people who are a little darker skinned. But that's what they were. They were a mixed multitude, and this mixed multitude came out of Egypt with Israel. And understand that their heart and their way of thinking will take them back to what they had in Egypt. And their lifestyle and their beliefs. And you know, the disgruntled attitude of others will quickly cause you to be disgruntled if you're not careful, right? Misery loves company. You ever heard that? Just hang around somebody that's complaining a lot, and pretty soon, that spirit, you're going to pick up. And I tell you what, I find somebody complaining, man, I try to get away from them because it's so easy for me. It really is. I can tell them, I'll just shut up and, you know, put up with them. But it's so easy for me to begin to be disgruntled. It's so easy for me to complain. And they begin to doubt God's provision soon after the fire judgment, as I said earlier. And they began to be ungrateful of what God had done for them. That's what this is about, being ungrateful. Unthankful. You know the cure for being ungrateful? Be thankful. Right? It is the cure. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things. In 11:5, we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna for us, for our, before our eyes. You see, now they're remembering the fish and all the things there in Egypt, but I underscored this here. It says, we did eat in Egypt freely. Right? It can be easy to forget the hard times when things are going good. Don't they remember where they came from? There was nothing free about Egypt. There was nothing easy about Egypt. That word freely could carry a lot of different ideas. Like we eat all kinds of food freely in this country. We just go to the grocery store. We just stack up our grocery cart and we get it. And, you know, boy, I can remember. I was in the Philippines. I tell my wife, well, I can sure remember back home. You know, I can go to the grocery store. I said, wait till you get there, honey, and you see. They've got, these grocery stores got anything you can think of at all. Well, you don't get that in the Philippines. But it's easy to forget about hard times when things are going good. And they're claiming that the food in Egypt was plentiful and inexpensive and easy to come by, but they had to slave for it. You see, here they just walk out there and they pick up the manna. Right? They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to slave for it. This is a form of ungratefulness. Very ungrateful. Let me tell you something. Because they said their soul was dried away, God sent leanness to their soul. In Psalms chapter 106, give you just a second to get there. Psalms 106, verses 11 through 15. And again, this is another chapter talking about this portion of the Israelites and them lusting after meat. And the waters covered their enemies, talking about when Israel came up out of Egypt and Moses parted the sea and Israelites walked across on dry land, and when the Egyptians followed behind, God brought the waters upon them. Eh? The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. Leanness into their soul carries the idea that they were spiritually starving or simply lacking of spiritual understanding. I read that passage and I think of skeletons. You know, you ever see the skeletons walking around, you know, in movies or whatever, in cartoons. Well, if I was to look into the soul of man, I would see a lot of skeletons in this country. I really would, around the world. We would see a lot of skeletons. If we could see into the souls of man. See, we have a lot of people in this world that is spiritually starving. Spiritually starving. Numbers 11:7. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of dillium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was a taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. See, God could not have made it any easier for them unless he cooked it for himself and fed them, hand-fed them. He couldn't have made it any simpler for them. But yet they're lusting after what they had in Egypt. Boy, I remember those good old times when we could just eat freely. I don't think so. Then they cut their provisions and increased their work, if I remember correctly. Right? Cut their provisions. The more that God did for them, the less they appreciated. You ever notice that about some people? The more you do for them, the less they appreciate it. I won't go into some of the stories I could tell you about people that you just did so much for them and they just walked all over you. Lack of appreciation. See, the taste of manna was very good. It's fresh oil, olive oil. You know, if you go into a restaurant and they give you some bread and you take your bread and you dip it in that fresh oil. Ah, it's good. Right? So what is this manna? What is it? You ever ask yourself what the manna was? It's important that we understand what the manna is. I mean, they're complaining about it. Terrible, terrible, terrible. We got to eat this manna. Lord, have mercy on us. We got to eat this manna. We sure missed all those fish we used to have. They forgot about all the starving nights and they went to bed hungry. Psalms 78:24. And he had rained down manna. See, here's another chapter, some more verses on it. He had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. The corn of heaven. And man did eat angels' food. And he sent them meat to the full. See, manna is described here as the food that the angels ate. This is what the angels eat. But it's not good enough for them. Not good enough for me. It's not good enough for you. Right? You know, sometimes when God gives us our provisions and it's not what we wanted, we begin to get disgruntled. Right? We it's easy for us to begin to cry and complain. How many of us complain about our wives or our husbands? And we know the Bible says that a man findeth a wife, he found favor in God, with God's eyes, right? And so we want to complain about our wife? No different than them complaining about the manna. Right? Then Moses heard it, or heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. I underscored that every man. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. You see, the complaining spread like wildfire. Just a few verses ago, it was in their heart. They're thinking this in their heart. Maybe they were whispering back and forth, the Bible doesn't tell us. But it was a heart condition. And it's still a heart condition, don't get me wrong. but it has magnified itself to now being disgruntled, and I'm complaining to Jeremiah about something, and next thing you know, he's disgruntled about the very same thing. And then he goes to his wife, and he tells his wife, and now she's disgruntled about the very same thing. And then next thing you know, we've got everybody in the church all riled up because we're disgruntled about something. See, the Lord was kindled greatly. That's what it says there. The Lord was kindled greatly. Kindled means a hot, furious, to be angry, to be grieved. See, do you understand that we grieve God when we begin to complain? How many times have I grieved God? I got to guard myself about being complaining. I'm being honest with you. My wife will tell you, I'm easy to complain about something. And I was in the Philippines, man. These people would cut in front of me. That's how Jeremiah about that. And I'd get angry at them, man. And I'd start complaining to, you know, who do they think they are cutting in front of me? I've been waiting in this line for 2 hours and they just walk up and get in front of me. You know? Complaining is a sin. I want you to get that out of this passage. Complaining is simply a sin. We should never condone sin. Right? I mean, oh, God forbid somebody's going to commit abortion. We're going to line up and we're going to chastise them for it. But Brother so-and-so comes along and he begins to complain about Pastor Scott and we tolerate it. Better yet, we tell other people about it. Right? Complaining is a sin. No matter what you're complaining about or who it's about, it's a sin. In verse 11, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou should say unto them, carry them in thy bosom, and as a nurse, father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, grieve us, or give us flesh that we may eat. How many times has Pastor Scott gone home wanting to kick the dog? Right? Pastor Crabtree too, man. I can imagine, you know. People start laying their burdens on them. Moses is like, wait a minute, man. You know? Moses basically in the position of the head of government, right? And now Moses is complaining to the Lord. Right? Why? The people start complaining to Moses and Moses starts complaining to God. That'll go over like a lead balloon. You see, I'm going to quote from Dr. Sexton. He said, we should only complain to the person that can do something about it. That's stuck in my mind ever since he said that. Why should I complain to Jeremiah when it's Pastor Scott that can do something about it? Or why should I complain to Jeremiah and it's my wife that's got something to do about it? Right? Why should I complain to the person that can do nothing about it? If the Lord showed us what we had to go through before we started, we most likely would not do it. Right? Well, Pastor Scott only knew the heartaches he was going to have to go through. He might not have started this work. Serious. And he could tell you story after story. Families coming and going. Families trying to cut him down. Families trying to steal his people. I mean, you know, he's probably seen it all. And if he hasn't seen it here, he's seen it somewhere else. Right? You don't spend how many years in the ministry, Pastor Scott? How many years you been in ministry? 40-some years. You don't spend 40-some years in the ministry and not see quite a bit. Right? I've been in ministry over 30-some years. And I've seen quite a bit. And I'll tell you what. There's a reason the Lord doesn't show us his complete will all at one time. Right? Because I can promise you, Moses, reading through the Old Testament, in the accounts of Moses, man, he sure put up with a lot. He sure complained a lot to the Lord, you know. Moses said, "These people which you have given me," you know, kind of sounds like Adam about Eve, you know, "this woman you gave me." In verse number 14, "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me." You know, when we get tired and worn out, don't quit. Right? See, we all get tired and worn out. But don't be weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." If we press forward, God will give us the strength that we need. Right? When hard times come and things start to be going south and, "Boy, I just can't figure out what God's putting me through," just press on. Don't complain. Just press on. And if you're going to complain, complain to the Lord. Right? Tell him about it. And sometimes the answer is shut up. But in verse number 15. "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." It never fails to cease me, amaze me, if you will, at things that Moses says to God. I'm just shocked sometimes when I read. It's like, boy, I wouldn't have the nerve to talk to God that way. "Lord, kill me. I'm tired of these people. Take me out of this life." My wife probably says that about me, but but I can't understand Moses speaking to God in this tone. I don't. Numbers 11:16, "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest it not thyself alone." See, God promises Moses to help with dealing with the problems of the people. God understands his frustration. God was angry first. Right? God was angry, and then Moses was displeased too. Right? And so God understood that Moses is bearing a lot on his shoulders and he's bearing it alone. Every one of us have gone through something and we feel like, hey, I just can't take this. This is something I can't do. I mean, how many of us said, Lord, I'm not Job. I don't have that kind of strength and faith. I have. I'm not going to go into the details. I've gone through some pretty tough times in my life. Real tough times. And I've cried before the Lord and said, Lord, I can't do it. And somehow, some way, he gives me a way because I pressed on. No matter what your circumstances are, I don't care what they are, if you don't complain and you press on, God will make a way. See, in verse number 17, we saw God's anointing spirit, by the way. He said, I will take the spirit that's upon you and put it upon them. And when God calls you to a work, he will empower you to be able to do the work. If he's called you to it, he will empower you. And he will provide for you. Jeremiah's got some tough kind of times coming. We all know that. He's his first child's on its way. He's in for some surprises, man. Right? But I can guarantee you the thought's gone through his mind, oh Lord, how am I gonna do this? My very first child came along, I was frightened. I said, oh Lord, I can't barely put food on the table now. Clothes on my back. How am I going to take care of this matter? But God takes care of it. Right? Don't be weary in well-doing. Just keep pressing forward. When God calls you to do it, he will provide it. In verse number 18, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it is well with us in Egypt. For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh and ye shall eat it. You shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month until it comes out your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you and have wept before him saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? See, God said he will give you what you want. Or told them he was going to give them what they wanted. But they're not going to like it. Right? We have to be careful what we ask for. You just might get it. That's right, sis. Right? And it might not be what you think you're getting. Why is it you think you're smarter than God? Right? When we begin to tell God what we want him to give us. It's not just the desire of my heart, it's the lust of my heart that gets me in trouble, right? And I'm going to tell you something. God will not tolerate lack of appreciation very long. He will not. Then Moses said in verse 11 or 21, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month? Shall the flock and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short that thou see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not? See, Moses is questioning what or how God is going to provide for the children of Israel. It's a lack of belief here. Wait a minute. The same God that brought water out of the rock. The same God that's been raining manna every day for you. The same God that had sent quail earlier in their journey. It is, and you're questioning his ability? God says, you know, you'll see whether my word shall come to pass or not. Right? But now I think God is at the end of his rope here. He seems to be getting fed up. When I begin to read God's response and what I've seen, what he's done. And verse 24 through 30, God anoints 70 men to take the responsibility off of Moses' plate. And I'm jumping past all this because I know I don't have the time. But it's amazing how God's anointing spirit, when he anointed them, they begin to speak in prophecy, right? And so, I'm not going to go into all of that, but I want to read something from verse 28 and 29. In verse 28, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them, because they begin to speak. Some men begin to speak in the camp. Forgot to tell you that part. And Joshua said to Moses, you know, forbid them. Forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Joshua, I think, was a little bit jealous here. Right? For Moses. You know, don't be jealous when God uses somebody. Right? If God wants to use you, I shouldn't be jealous about that. Right? If God wants to use me, you shouldn't be jealous about that. It's God's choice, not yours, not mine. Right? And so Moses said, whoa, wait a minute. Are you jealous for my sake? Right? I would think all the children of God would be prophets. I wish God would use every one of them. And when God does use somebody, don't begin to tear them down. Right? But rather rejoice in the Lord for that person. Amen. That's right. Maybe you can get behind them and help them instead. Right? God wants to use Jeremiah. We should all get behind him and push and help him. You want to be used of the Lord? Do you really want to be used of the Lord? Look around, see where he's working and get in the middle of it. Right? Instead of starting to talk about it and tear it down, get right in the middle of it. And God will use you too. Right now, if you want to be used of the Lord, get in the middle of Brother Needham's work over there in Africa. I promise you, he'll use you. God's working in that man and in that ministry over there. I've said this earlier, and some of you may have heard it, but I've got a renewed respect for that man. Going through what he's gone through, and he's going back. And he wants to go back to the very same place. Right? Boy, that's a tough man right there. That's a man of major faith. His heart is in the ministry there. His heart is for those people. In number 1131, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp. And as it were, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. Okay? If a day's journey is 10 miles. Now, I know we can walk 10 miles in a day, can't we, Ron? Okay? So if a day's journey is 10 miles, right? That would be 40 miles of quail stacked 3 feet high. Right? So you're talking 40 square miles. Right? 10 miles this way, 10 miles this way, 10 miles that way, 10 miles that way, right? So that's 20, okay, but it's still a lot of quail stacked 3 feet tall that he just gave it to them. You know, they didn't have to work for that one either. They didn't have to work for that. And the people stood up all the day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. Now, a homer is an equivalent to about 220 liters. And so those that gathered least gathered about 2,200 liters for that one person. 2,000 liters. Can you imagine getting 2,000 liters of pop bottles? Right? Think about it, right? That's a lot of quail. And one man went out and gathered. Now, what did he say about the manna? Don't get greedy. Just take enough for today. But they went out and they gathered all this quail. They gathered their month's worth. And anybody knows anything about birds, no month, birds don't last a month. In verse 33, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with very great plague, with a very great plague. See, God fulfilled his promise to give the people meat to eat. But God punished their bad behavior. Right? Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Sometimes we're more focused on today and lose sight of eternal things. Right? It's very easy for me to get focused. I was telling Jeremiah this the other day that when you're working, it's very easy to get focused on work. When he's studying for a sermon that night and lose focus. And then when he comes in, he's dry as a bone because he's been focused on everything that day. Right? Now, Pastor Scott, and I've lately had the luxury, Pastor Crabtree, of meditating on that during the day. Right? And not necessarily meditating on the things of this world. The cares of this world. Remember Jesus said, he cried, he said, beware of the cares of this world. Right? But to be focused on today and lose sight of eternal things. Sometimes we labor more in collecting things that perish than we are collecting things for eternity. And that's what they did. They saw all this quail. They began to go out there and just gather. And just gather. I can imagine the work just cleaning those stupid things. I guess he didn't get it so freely. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah. Okay. I could say it silently in my head. Kibroth Hattaavah is the way it's pronounced. But you say it all at one time. I get tongue twisted. Because there they buried the people that lusted. See, they lusted. Is it wrong to want food? No. But I tell you what, we have to be very careful about being ungrateful for what God has given us. Right? We need to be grateful for what he's given us. And if you are grateful for what he has given you, he'll give you more. I promise you that. See, God smote the unthankful and rebellious. I've got a quote here from Matthew Thomas. Not the ones that we know. It's his commentary. It says here, those who are under the power of a carnal mind will have their lust fulfilled, though it be to their certain damage and ruin of their precious souls. Now read that again. It says, those who are under the power of a carnal mind will have their lust fulfilled, though it be to their certain damage and ruin of their precious souls. They pay dearly for their feast. God often grants the desire of sinners in wrath, while he denies the desires of his own people in love. Wow. All right? So what? How much are you willing to sacrifice for the things that are eternal instead of temporal? Don't ever bring leanness to your soul. Don't do it. And for me, do you sometimes complain too much? I do. Pastor, you want to take this? Pastor Crabtree, come on.